Chapter 19. Feyre. Asriel won. His 199th victory, apparently. The three of them had entered the cabin an hour later, dripping snow, skin splotched with red, grinning from ear to ear. Mor and I snuggled together beneath a blanket on the couch, only rolled our eyes at them. Rhys just dropped a kiss atop my head, declared the three of them were going to take a steam in the cedar-lined shed attached to the house, and then they were gone. I blinked at Mor as they vanished, letting the image settle. "Another tradition," she told me, the bottle of amber-colored alcohol mostly empty, and my head now spinning with it. "An Illyrian custom, actually. The heated sheds, the birchen, a bunch of naked warriors sitting together in the steam, sweating." I blinked again. Moore's lips twitched. "About the only good custom the Illyrians ever came up with, to be honest." I snorted. "So the three of them are just in there. Naked. Sweating. Mother above. Interested in taking a look?" The dark purr echoed into my mind. "Lech, go back to your sweating." "There's room for one more in here."
"I thought mates were territorial."
I could feel him smile as if he were grinning against my neck. "I'm always eager to learn what sparks your interest, Feyre darling." I surveyed the cabin around me, the surfaces I'd painted nearly a year ago. "I was promised a wall, Rhys." A pause, a long pause. "I've taken you against a wall before."
"These walls."
Another long, long pause. "It's bad form to be at attention while in the birchen." My lips curved and I sent him an image, a memory, of me on the kitchen table just a few feet away, of him kneeling before me, my legs wrapped around his head.
"Cruel, wicked thing."
I heard a door slamming somewhere in the house, followed by a distinctly male yelp, then banging, as if someone was trying to get back inside. Moore's eyes sparkled. "You got him kicked out, didn't you?" My answering smile set her roaring. The sun was sinking toward the distant sea beyond Valaris, when Rhys stood at the black marble mantel of the townhouse sitting room and lifted his glass of wine. All of us, in our finery for once, lifted ours in suit. I'd opted to wear my starfall gown, forgoing my crown but wearing the diamond cuffs at my wrists. It sparkled and gleamed in my line of vision as I stood at Rhys's side, taking in every plane of his beautiful face as he said, "To the blessed darkness from which we are born, and to which we return." Our glasses rose and we drank. I glanced to him, my mate, in his finest black jacket, the silver embroidery gleaming in the faylight.
"That's it?"
He arched a brow.
"Did you want me to keep droning on, or did you want to start celebrating?"
My lips twitched. "You really do keep things casual."
"Even after all this time, you still don't believe me."
His hand slid behind me and pinched. I bit my lip to keep from laughing.
"I hope you got me a good solstice present."
It was my turn to pinch him, and Rhys laughed, kissing my temple once before sauntering out of the room to no doubt grab more wine. Beyond the windows, darkness had indeed fallen, the longest night of the year. I found Elaine studying it, beautiful in her amethyst-colored gown. I made to move toward her, but someone beat me to it. The shadow singer was clad in a black jacket and pants similar to Rhysand's, the fabric immaculately tailored and built to fit his wings. He still wore his siphons atop either hand, and shadow trailed his footsteps, curling like swirled embers. But there was little sign of the warrior otherwise, especially as he gently said to my sister,
"Happy solstice."
Elaine turned from the snow falling in the darkness beyond and smiled slightly.
"I've never participated in one of these."
Amran supplied from across the room, Varian at her side, resplendent in his princely regalia.
"They're highly overrated."
Moore smirked.
"Says the female who makes out like a bandit every year. I don't know how you don't get robbed going home with so much jewelry stuffed in your pockets."
Amran flashed her two white teeth.
"Careful, Morrigan, or I'll return the pretty little thing I got you."
more to my surprise, shut right up. And so did the others, as Reese returned with,
"You didn't,"
I blurted out the words. He grinned at me over the giant-tiered cake in his arms, over the 21 sparkling candles lighting up his face. Cassian clapped me on the shoulder.
"You thought you could sneak it past us, didn't you?"
I groaned.
"You're all insufferable."
Elaine floated to my side. "Happy birthday, Feyre." My friends, my family, echoed the words as Reese set the cake on the low-lying table before the fire. I glanced toward my sister.
"Did you?"
A nod from Elaine.
"Nuala did the decorating, though."
It was then that I realized what the three different tiers had been painted to look like. On the top, flowers. In the middle, flames. And on the bottom, widest layer, stars. The same design of the chest of drawers I'd once painted in the dilapidated cottage. One for each of us, each sister. Those stars and moons sent to me, my mind, by my mate, long before we'd ever met.
"I asked Nuala to do it in that order," Elaine said as the others gathered around. "Because you're the foundation, the one who lifts us. You always have been."
My throat tightened unbearably, and I squeezed her hand in answer. More, Cauldron bless her, shouted,
"Make a wish, and let us get to the presents."
At least one tradition did not change on either side of the wall. I met Reese's stare over the sparkling candles. His smile was enough to make the tightness in my throat turn into burning in my eyes.
"What are you going to wish for?"
A simple, honest question. And looking at him, at that beautiful face and easy smile, so many of those shadows vanished. Our family gathered around us, eternity a road ahead. I knew. I truly knew what I wanted to wish for, as if it were a piece of Amryn's puzzle clicking into place, as if the threads of the weaver's tapestry finally revealed the design they'd formed to make. I didn't tell him, though, not as I gathered my breath and blew. Cake before dinner was utterly acceptable on solstice, Reese informed me, as we set aside our plates on whatever surface was nearest in the sitting room, especially before presents.
"What presents?"
I asked, surveying the room empty of them, save for Lucian's two boxes. The others grinned at me as Reese snapped his fingers and...
Oh.
Boxes and bags, all brightly wrapped and adorned, filled the bay windows. Piles and mountains and towers of them. Moore let out a squeal of delight. I twisted toward the foyer. I'd left mine in a broom closet on the third level.
Nope, there they were,
wrapped and by the back of the bay. Reese winked at me.
I took it upon myself to add your presence to the communal trove.
I lifted my brows.
Everyone gave you their gifts?
He's the only one who can be trusted not to snoop,
Moore explained. I looked toward Asriel.
Even him,
Amryn said. Asriel gave me a guilty cringe.
Spymaster, remember?
We started doing it 2 centuries ago, Moore went on, after Reese caught Amryn literally shaking a box to figure out what was inside.
Amryn clicked her tongue as I laughed.
What they didn't see was Cassian down here 10 minutes earlier, sniffing each box.
Cassian threw her a lazy smile.
I wasn't the one who got caught.
I turned to Reese. And somehow you're the most trustworthy one? Reese looked outright offended.
I am High Lord, Feyre darling. Unwavering honor is built into my bones.
Moore and I snorted. Amryn strode for the nearest pile of presents.
I'll go first.
Of course she will,
Varian muttered, earning a grin from me and Moore. Amryn smiled sweetly at him before bending to pick up a gift. Varian had the good sense to shudder, only when she'd turned her back on him. But she plucked up a pink-wrapped present, read the label, and ripped into it. Everyone tried and failed to hide their wince. I'd seen some animals tear into carcasses with less ferocity. But she beamed as she turned to Asriel, a set of exquisite pearl and diamond earrings dangling from her small hands.
Thank you, Shadow Singer,
she said, inclining her head. Asriel only inclined his head in return.
I'm glad they passed inspection.
Cassian elbowed his way past Amryn, earning a hiss of warning, and began chucking presents. Moore caught hers easily, shredding the paper with as much enthusiasm as Amryn. She grinned at the general.
Thank you, darling. Cassian smirked.
I know what you like.
Moore held up. I choked. Asriel did too, whirling on Cassian as he did. Cassian only winked at him as the barely there red negligee swayed between Moore's hands. Before Asriel could undoubtedly ask what we were all thinking, Moore hummed to herself and said,
Don't let him fool you. He couldn't think of a damn thing to get me, so he gave up and asked me outright. I gave him precise orders. For once in his life, he obeyed them.
The perfect warrior through and through,
Rhys drawled. Cassian leaned back on the couch, stretching his long legs before him.
Don't worry, Rhysy. I got one for you, too. Shall I model it for you?
I laughed, surprised to hear the sound echo across the room. From Elaine. Her present. I hurried to the pile of gifts before Cassian could lob one across the room again, hunting for the parcel I'd carefully wrapped yesterday. I just spied it behind a larger box when I heard it. The knock. Just once. Quick and hard. I knew. I knew before Rhys even looked toward me who was standing at that door. Everyone did. Silence fell, interrupted only by the crackling fire. A beat, and then I was moving, dress swishing around me as I crossed into the foyer, heaved open the leaded glass door and the oak one beyond it, then braced myself against the onslaught of cold. Against the onslaught of Nesta.